I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Hello out there in Bob Land. I got a lot of great feedback last couple of days about my podcast on that Nobel Prize winner. That's the one who won the Nobel Prize, $1.1 million, for discovering that consumers do not make rational decisions, that we make irrational decisions. And I have another one. Maybe it's not going to be as good as that one, but it's another Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's something that is going to be in the reports. You'll probably hear MSNBC talking about it as they promote the concept of wind energy. And the scientists have done it again. And we have to read between the lines to understand what they've done. But here's the Washington Post article. And the title is, "There's Enough Wind Energy Over the Oceans to Power Human Civilization, comma, Scientists Say." Now that's going to be magic to the left-wing people. They will immediately start talking about getting rid of all the oil, getting rid of all coal, and go immediately to wind energy over the oceans, because that's what scientists say. So I've gone through the article, and the article, by the way, starts off with a great picture of some wind turbines in an offshore wind farm in Simeo. That's a Danish island. Now, the water there is not very deep, by the way. There's a picture of about 8 or 9 of the big wind turbines. And I don't make this up, so you have to stay with me on this, but new research published on Monday finds there's so much wind energy potential over oceans that it could theoretically be used to generate civilization-scale power. Assuming, that is, that we're willing to cover enormous stretches of the sea with turbines and can come up with ways to install and maintain them in often extreme ocean environments. That little condition at the end, of course, was not in the headline. And those are pretty insurmountable kinds of issues, ways to install the turbines and maintain them in extreme ocean environments. And the article goes on to talk about how important this wind energy is, and that these scientists went through these calculations on paper, by the way, to show that if we could just get enough turbines in the ocean, we could generate all the clean power that we want. No problem. It'd be a major step for wind energy technology, and all the left-thinking people could finally get rid of all the coal-fired power plants and oil-fired power plants, et cetera, et cetera. And a study goes on to talk about it. It says, study takes as its outset prior research that has found that there's probably an upper limit to the amount of energy that can be generated by a wind farm that's located on land. In other words, land turbines have a limit. But on the ocean, there's no limit. And it goes on there to explain, and then it makes some assumptions that are kind of interesting. For example, it talks about they've calculated that these turbines can generate 7 terawatts annually. That's a terawatt is 1 trillion watts. And that all of these wind farms on the ocean would work. Of course, it would take an area of 3 million square kilometers. That's an area larger than Greenland that would be full of these wind turbines. And hence the study concluded, this has got to be a multi-million dollar study, concludes that on an annual mean basis, the wind power available in the North Atlantic could be sufficient to power the world. Uh-oh. And then buried in the article is something kind of interesting. The scientists didn't consider this, by the way, because their calculations were based on sheets of paper in front of them or a computer. And remember, putting wind turbines in an area the size of Greenland, trillions of square kilometers. So they go on to say, I guess this is probably a paragraph at the end, but it's critical to emphasize that these are purely theoretical calculations. Yes, I get it. Yet sometimes some scientists got a couple hundred grand to make these calculations on paper so the Democrats or the left-thinking people can throw this out and tell the government that we need to start working on wind farms on the ocean. But apparently there are some problems. They are thwarted by many practical factors, including the fact that the winds aren't equally strong in all seasons. That's kind of interesting. And that the technologies to capture their energy at such a scale, much less transfer it to shore, do not currently exist. That just kills me. Buried in the article, after we go through this, let's just put all these wind turbines in the ocean. You see, when they make these calculations, these scientists, they don't have any practical view of what it takes. They just get out a sheet of paper and they calculate, let's say a wind velocity is this, a turbine speed is this, that generates that much power. It's going to take roughly 3 trillion square kilometers of turbines, where the average depth is maybe 100 meters or more. So that's a problem. We got to anchor these things at the ocean floor. So, but let's not consider that in our paper study. We'll just put that as an addendum. And sure enough, there's the addendum that the problem is that technologies to capture their energy at such a scale, much less transfer it to shore, do not currently exist. In other words, the technology to do this doesn't exist. No one knows how to do it. All the scientist knows is how to make the arithmetic calculations. Oh, then there's another problem. Modeling simulations performed in the study suggest that extracting this much wind energy from nature would have planetary scale effects, include cooling down parts of the Arctic by as much as 13 degrees Celsius. No, you can't make this stuff up. So this is a major scientific study, and they quote people from Stanford and from the East Coast Ivy League colleges, and the scientists have proven this, but they've got a couple of problems. One is there's no technology to do it. Oh, well, that's just a government problem. They'll just throw, you know, like $35 billion more at Stanford and MIT, and they'll get the technologies worked out. Oh, but wait a minute. There's another problem. If you subtract or extract that much energy from nature, it would have planetary scale effects, including cooling down parts of the Arctic by as much as 13 degrees Celsius. I guess cooling down is not so bad unless you're traveling there. I mean, I guess the ice would be a lot harder. 13 degrees Celsius is a lot. So we have some problems. And of course, then one of the researchers said, trying to get civilization scale power out of wind is a bit asking for trouble. And it goes on to talk about it. But you see how silly this is? They talk about we'll need to use a portfolio of technology. We'll have to figure out how to mount these things 100 feet deep in the water. Yes, I know we went to the moon. I know we've got some great technology. But by the way, the math of going to the moon was pretty well known. We had the rocket power. We had to get some manufacturing things taken care of. But it wasn't we were doing any breakthrough kind of work. And we weren't affecting other parts of the world. But it's going ahead. They're going to get more money. The governments are going to throw more money at it. It's not going to happen in our life. Just think about it. 3 trillion square kilometers of area. Drive through Southern California on the way up to Palm Springs, and you'll go through many, many wind farms. And remember, those wind farms would not exist if it wasn't for the tax benefits granted to the investors. I don't know of anyone that can make an economic case for a wind farm. Economic case being that the cost of the wind farm without tax credits is justifiable. But you're going to hear a lot more about this, I think, from the left side. They're going to say, it's possible. Put these windmills out in the ocean. They won't tell people that they don't know how to do it. There's no technology available to do it. And it may affect the planet in climate areas that we don't even understand yet, including lowering the Arctic by 13 degrees Celsius. These are all things that the scientists don't have to worry about, because when they get their money, they get $200,000-$300,000 from the government to basically do these studies on paper. They don't have to work. They don't even have to be practical. The arithmetic just has to be calculable. I've got one. In my mind, we should just build one giant windmill. Now, I've gone through the arithmetic on this, just roughly. It looks like this windmill would have to be something like 5,000 feet high, and the turbines would have to be about 10 miles on each side. And the arithmetic looks great. I'm pretty well convinced that this single turbine could generate enough power arithmetically to power Kansas City. So I think we should go ahead and do it. But there are a few problems. First, we can't build anything that big. And if we put it up somewhere where there's enough wind, it would probably knock down some airplanes as they flew by. And the turbines itself would be plus or minus 5,000 feet in the air. But don't worry about those things. Don't worry about the fact that manufacturing, it's impossible, that we could never design it, that it would never work practically. Just remember that arithmetically, I can generate the power from that. Reminds me of that old mathematical problem about how long of a lever would you have to lift the earth? You can calculate how long it has to be and how much weight has to be on one side. But frankly, I don't think it's practical. I don't think even if you can design a lever 10,000 miles long and put enough weight on one end that we can lift the earth. And there's some real practical problems there, right? Like, who's going to be on the other side of the lever? And that's the thing that disturbs me most about scientists and their inventions. And one last thought on this. I'm not without an educated opinion on this, because some years ago, I was hired by the governor of Kansas to evaluate the R&D at all the universities in Kansas. And they gave me and 2 other people, in fact, access to the governor's plane. And we flew to K-State, we flew to the University of Kansas, we flew to Wichita State, and we flew to Pittsburgh State. And we talked with all the professors there who are in charge of research and development. And we found that those 4 universities do approximately $500 or $600 million of research every year, and barely any of it is ever commercialized or turned into a practical activity. So think about it. If you were CEO of a company and you spent $500 million a year in R&D, and you returned maybe $1 million a year in royalties, you'd be fired pretty fast. We gave our report to the state of Kansas on how to make some changes. One was to, of course, make commercialization of research technology as a part of granting tenure to professors, so they'd be motivated to commercialize what they do, not just do paper studies. Of course, the state of Kansas never did anything. So we're still where we are today. We receive $400 or $500 million a year in research at these various universities, and we return a pittance to the taxpayer. In my example of the scientific study that we could build enough turbines on the ocean to generate civilization power is another example of money down the drain. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. What's the point? The point is we spend millions and millions of dollars on research across the United States at all our universities, and we commercialize hardly anything because universities don't know how to commercialize things. And by the way, most universities today have commercialization centers. And what do? Go talk to a few of them, and you'll find out. This is Bob Sherwood signing off. Webtalkwithbob@gmail.com on October the 10th, 2017. Talking about scientists and why they say there is such a thing as a, is it called a White Tower where they are? Good luck. Have a great week. I hope I've given you something to think about the next time you're with a university professor. Next time you read a scientific report about climate change or wind energy and why that's the answer, except for a few details, like we don't have the technology to do it, and it would take 3 trillion square kilometers of wind turbines to generate the power. Other than that, no problem. Of course, probably also costs about $10 trillion too, but scientists didn't do that part. They just said, hey, we can do it on paper. Goodbye. Have a great week. Listen in and send these podcasts along. Let's get people thinking. Let's get people thinking about the details, asking questions about what's going on, and not being gullible. Have a good week. See you.